Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Throughout the Word of God, as we study our Bible, we see it. But I just want to give you some simple thoughts tonight on missions in action. And let's look at the missionary and what the missionary's doing. We can see it all right here in the book of Acts. If you've never read the book of Acts, I encourage you to go home tonight and read the book of Acts before you go to sleep. Man, you want to talk about an action-packed book. The book of Acts is an action-packed book. And I love to read it. I love to study it. And I know it's hard, and stay with me. Don't write me off what I'm fixing to say. It's hard to bring a lot of doctrine out of the book of Acts because it's a transitional book. We're transitioning from law to grace. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has been buried. Jesus is resurrected. Now 40 days has went by, and Jesus has ascended back into the heavens. And the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, and we have now transitioned. We're no longer living by law, but we're living by grace. Thank God. Can I say it this way? Thank God I'm on this side of the book of Acts. Can I say it that way? I'm not on the other side. I'm on this side. I'm not on the law side. I'm on the grace side, because none of us could keep the law. But I sure am thankful one came and kept the law and then died for all men, amen. And now because of that, we have salvation. So Acts is a transitional book. Acts chapter number 7 records the closing of Acts chapter number 7, records of course, the first Christian martyr that we are introduced to. And it's interesting when you study his life that he prays similar to what Jesus prays. And he asked the Lord not to put it to their account what they was doing to him that day. And we find in the closing of chapter number 7 that there is a man there, a young man there, by the name of Saul. And he is consenting to the death of Stephen. And he says, hey, look, I want this done. He's consenting to that. And after that, in chapter number 9, this young man by the name of Saul is on his way on the road to Damascus, and he's going to go find some more Christians to bring them in to have them killed. And there's a great light shines down out of heaven convicts this young man, and he gets saved. God changes his life, and his name becomes Paul, otherwise known as the Apostle of Paul, and probably besides the Lord Jesus Christ, had a greater impact on all the world than anybody else ever has. The Apostle Paul did. And the church begins, and man, it's just action packed. And I want to talk to you about missions tonight out of here, because we see it. And here's what I want to do over the next 20 to 25 minutes. I want to preach chapter 13 to chapter 21 of the book of Acts. And you say, are you really going? I'm going to try my best to do that over the next few minutes and give you some thoughts out of it tonight. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. You've been seated just a few minutes. Know what the Bible said, verse 1 of chapter 13 of the book of Acts. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And the Bible said in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, set me Barnabas and Saul for the work unto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now know what verse 4 says. So they being sent from the sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, And they had also John to their minister. Father, I pray that you'd help us today or this evening. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us recall the things we've studied. I pray, God, that we would get a clear understanding from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to look at some more of missions tonight and missions in action tonight. And I mean this from the depths of my heart. God knows my heart tonight. And matter of fact, early yesterday morning, I just spent some time by myself. And you say, why'd you do that? Because I needed to have an educated conversation. So me and myself went on a walk and talked a while. I was talking to the Lord as I was walking, actually, up the Blue Ridge Parkway. A lot of it's closed. And brother Aaron, I just pulled off on the side of the road there at the road closed sign and just started walking. And I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know my heart. And he does. Can I get an amen right there? My heart's desire over the past few weeks and tonight and over the next several weeks is that our church will really get a clear understanding of what missions is. Of course, we've looked at the Great Commission, and tonight I want to look at several other things. So I want to note three things with you tonight, and we'll start in chapter 13. Number one, I want you to note the personnel for missions. The personnel for mission. Who is the missionary? Now, I said this several weeks ago. You're one of two things. You're either a missionary or you're in need of a missionary. Amen? And you say, well, preacher, the missionary goes across the world. But hear me tonight when I say this. It doesn't take a very educated person to agree with me on this. We are in the world right now. This is part of the world right here in good old Surrey County. So when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the world. This is the mission field tonight that we're living in. So the personnel for missions, we'll see it in these first five verses. Number one, can I say this under the personnel for missions? God calls them. God calls them to the mission field. Now, as I talk about this tonight, I really want to turn. Now, we're all missionaries, understand that, but I want to turn really towards that individual that calls themselves a missionary. They are raising support to go to the mission field. How did they get to that place? Did they just wake up one morning and go, you know what, I think I'm going to be a missionary today? Can I say this? If that's the way that they say they was called into missions, they're not going to last in missions, because I promise you, the going will get tough in missions. So how does the missionary begin being a missionary? Well, God calls them to do that. God calls them to do that. Think about this with me. In these four verses, we find how missionaries are to be selected, if you want to say it that way. God does not leave it up to the committees, to the colleges, to the conventions to choose his missionaries. In verse number two, we find that a missionary is to be called by the Holy Ghost of God. Can I say this to you tonight? There is a difference in a burden and a calling. Can I just say it this way? Last Sunday night, we had a missionary going to Peru, and man, they done a great job. And I sat there, and they started playing that video about Peru and that survey trip that they went on to Peru. And if I'm real honest with you, man, I was pushing back tears the whole time. And there's a couple times that a few of them leaked out. And, man, it just broke my heart. And it burdened me for the country of Peru. But God didn't call me to the country of Peru. Now, he may one day, and if he does, that's all right. And I've not mastered English yet. Don't nobody say amen. So I know I'm going to have a hard time with Spanish. I really think I can learn sign language quicker than Spanish. But anyway, if God calls me there, then that's one thing. So God calls the missionary. It's not a burden. It's when the Holy Spirit of God, as we see in verse number two, speaks to the heart of the man and says, I want you to go to the mission field. God calls them. God does not reach outside of the church to select the missionaries. God calls them out of the church. Can I just say this to you? A man that won't be faithful in the church won't be faithful away from the church. My dad used to say this all the time. When I grew up and started preaching at Turner's Creek, there was probably, 275 preachers there, it seemed like. There's a whole slew of us there. And Dad used to always say this, and the pastors that's out pastoring now from our church will agree with what I'm fixing to say, because I said it to them all the time, and some of you have heard this very thing. Bloom where you're planted. You'll never bloom nowhere else if you won't bloom where you're planted at. So God calls the missionary out of the local church. Not only does the scripture teach us that God calls them out of the church, but he calls them to a country or a culture or a specific people. When you go to Acts chapter number 26, you'll find out that Paul was called to the Gentiles. It talks about that in Acts chapter number 26. So the personnel for missions, it's the missionary, God calls them, but watch this. Then the church sends them. The church sends them. You say, preacher, man, I wanted something out of the Bible tonight. I'm giving it to you right out of the Bible. The reason people do no more for missions than what they do is because they don't understand missions. So God calls them, but then watch this. The church is to send them. Not only do we find in this text that God, through the Holy Ghost, calls them out of the church to a country, but we also see that the church commissioned them or ordained them, and they was to be sent directly from the local church. Directly from the local church. Not only were they sent by the local church, but watch this, they were also supported by the local church. How did they get to the field? By the local church supporting them to get to the field. You remember last week we looked at Philippians chapter number 4 and we talked about how he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. But when we read the verses prior to that and study Philippians chapter 4 in context, you know what he's dealing with? He's dealing with world missions. And he's saying that that church had sent to the need at Philippi, and because they had given to missions, that God would supply their need. God would supply their need. So it is the God calling them and the church sending them. With the missionary being sent out of the local church, it makes that missionary accountable to the local church. It makes them, you know, there's a lot of people who has a problem with accountability. They have a problem with that. And the missionary is sent out of the local church, as we see right here, because they become accountable to it. So number one, the personnel for missions, but number two, now here's really what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. It's 8:41. It's not 8:41. It's 5:41. Number two, not only the personnel for missions, but let's look at the program for the missionary. What is the missionary supposed to do? If we're going to support the missionary, 51 missionaries, I think it is, monthly we support all of them at $100 a month, with the exception of the one out of our church. They're at $300 a month. But what is that missionary supposed to do? The greatest guidelines for the work of a missionary is outlined in chapter number 14, verse number 21 through 28. And can I just say this to you again tonight? Everything should come directly from the Bible. Can I get an amen right there? So what does a missionary do? Let me back up and rephrase it. What is the missionary supposed to do? If we're going to give to missions, and last year, to God be the glory, over $100,000 just to world missions. But I really believe we can do way more above that if we'll really get a hold of this. If we're going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to world missions, what is that missionary supposed to do? Well, I want to show it to you, chapter 14. I'm not going to read every one of these verses for the sake of time, but I'm going to make reference to you. There's about seven or eight things, and now stay with me. I'm going to go through them quick, that the missionary is supposed to do. Number one, can I say this? He's to be preaching. Can I say that again? He is to be preaching. What did he say in Acts chapter number 14, verse number 21? And when they had preached the gospel to the city. What are they to do? Man, the missionary is to preach the gospel. He's to preach the gospel. This is the first and foremost job of the missionary. He is to preach. Can I say that again? He is to preach. What did he say in Mark 16, verse 15? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. What did he say in 2 Timothy 4, 2? Preach the word. Preach the word. What is the missionary to be doing tonight? Here's what the missionary is to be doing. He is to be preaching the gospel. He's to be preaching the gospel. And now, number two, and I could say so much right there. I could say so much. Understand that there is times that people go to the medical mission field. Understand that. Understand that there's times, and I don't know about throwing the rocks at me right here because we support a lady that's a missionary with Rock of Ages. And I understand that there's times that you have a situation like that that goes into the prison and teaches. They are not a preacher. They'll never be a preacher. Somebody give me an amen right there. They ought not act like one. They ought not carry themselves like one. They're not a preacher. But she goes in and teaches. And I'm going to tell you the primary responsibility of any missionary based on the Word of God is one thing, and that is preaching the gospel. Number two, not only preaching. Now watch this. That's primary. Number two, watch this. Chapter 14, verse 21 again. He's not only preaching, he's teaching. The Bible said, and taught many. While this is very closely related to preaching, there is a difference. Teaching enlarges the intellect, but preaching demands the will. Can I say this about preaching? Preaching demands a response. Preaching demands a response. Teaching does not always do that. We had Sunday school this morning, and thank God for that. Thank God for all the teachers that was in Sunday school today. But at the end of their class, they dismissed. We had a preacher today, and at the end of his class, if you want to look at it that way, at the end of his sermon, what did he do? He demanded a response. Preaching demands a response. Teaching will help you to learn and your intellect to grow. Now watch this. He's to be, and can I just say this to you? That preacher, that pastor, if we want to look at that real quick, is supposed to be apt to teach. That's what he said. Wednesday night when you come, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you how to study the Bible. Now watch this. Number three. Now, stay with me, chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. This is not a religious ritual as is practiced by some religions today. Strong's Concordance defines this as it means to establish beside, strengthen more, to render more firm, or to confirm. What is it? Here's simply what it is. It is helping them to be grounded in the Bible. What does a lot of missionaries do? They do a Bible study through the week. They'll go to individual homes and do a Bible study. So what are they doing? They are confirming. That's what they're doing. Now watch this. Number four, exhorting. Chapter 14, verse 22, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The word means along with other things, to call to one side, to address, speak, to admonish, console, encourage, and strengthen by consolation, to comfort, to encourage, to instruct. That's what they're to do. Ordaining elders, chapter 14, verse 23. And when they ordained them elders in every church. The thought that God would save some young man, and without going into great details, that is really what we know as a preacher today. And boy, the thought that God would call some young man from the ministry that you are investing in, that's what they're to be doing. Watch this, praying and fasting. Again, chapter 14, verse 23. and had prayed and fasted. And I say this to you tonight, that's something that all of us should be doing. The missionaries should be praying and fasting. Commending them, chapter 14, verse 23. They commended them to the Lord on whom they beloved. The job of the missionary basically is to work himself out of a job. He goes to a place, begins to work, starts a church, prays and fasts for God to grow the church. He exhorts them and trains them. God calls a preacher out of the church. He takes that preacher and encourages him and trains him, allows him to take over the work, and then goes and does it all over again. Hence comes the term church planter. He plants and goes and plants and goes and plants. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about what a missionary does. If we're going to support them, this is what they're supposed to be doing. Watch this, chapter 14, verse 27. Some have a problem with this. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. What's the missionary to be doing? He's to be reporting. Here's a sure way for you to get your support dropped at Amazing Grace if you're a missionary watching. Don't send a prayer letter. You know what we're going to do after 3 months? You're going to get an email from Miss Courtney that says, we've not received a prayer letter. If we don't have one in 30 days, we're dropping your support. You say, well, what if they don't write one in 30 days? We're dropping their support. I'm not going to send money to the mission field and the missionary not even have enough respect for the church to report to us. Watch this, number wherever we're at, and this will be the last, and I'll give you the last thought, and we'll go home. The missionary is to be, some have a problem with this, resting. Resting, chapter 14, verse 28, and when they abode a long time with the disciples. This is where we get the idea of a missionary taking a furlough. Whenever you hear a missionary say, hey, I'm home on furlough, what is he talking about? Here's usually the way that it is. They go to the mission field for 4 years, and then they come home on furlough. And when they come home, they're raising support or needed funds for a project that they have going on the mission field. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, all right, well, they did it in the Bible. Are you with me? The missionary. So that is the program of the missionary, the personnel of the missionary. Now, number three. And I'm done tonight. The purpose of the missionary. What is the sole purpose of a missionary? I've thought about this. I've studied on this. I've had conversations on this. I've had people disagree with me on this. I've had people agree with me on this. And I've made people confused about this. But what is the sole purpose of a missionary? Why does God call the missionary? What is the sole purpose of a missionary? There are many things today that are called missions. You ever thought about that? There's a lot of stuff today that's called a mission. But it comes nowhere close to lining up with Acts chapter 16 through Acts chapter number 20. It comes nowhere close to lining up with it. So what is it? In the study of Acts 16 through 20, we see clearly the purpose of the missions and the missionary is one thing, starting churches. That's the sole purpose of a missionary. The starting churches is clearly set forth as the main purpose of a missionary. You say, I disagree with you. Bring me Bible if you want to argue it, because I'm fixing to load you up with Bible that proves what I'm saying is right. Chapter 16, Acts chapter number 16, the church at Philippi was started. Chapter 17, the church at Thessalonica was started. Chapter 17, the church at Berea was started. Chapter 18, the church at Corinth was started. Chapter 19 and chapter number 20, the churches at Ephesus was started. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. God sent his son to die for the church, and what he's interested in is the church, and the primary focus of every missionary ought to be one thing, that's the church. Starting churches. Starting churches. Now, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Is everybody still awake? Some of you are more awake right now than you've been the whole time I've been preaching. I understand that we have missionaries in a helps ministry sometimes. Brother Aaron's dad is doing a helps ministry. What does he help? He helps the local church. Did you catch what I just said? He goes to the mission field, and he is a skilled builder, and his wife is a skilled cooker. Isn't that right, Brother Aaron? And they go to the missionary, and they help the local church. You know what Miss Courtney's dad does? He assists, and Miss Sarah's, he assists the local church. You know what dad does every time that he preaches? He assists the local church. That's where it all goes back to. It hinges on the church, man. That is the main purpose of missions tonight. You say, well, what about a prison ministry? Hear me and hear me well. A prison ministry should answer to a local church. Amen. Should answer to, you say, preacher, you're all about that local church because it's biblical tonight. They should answer to a local church, and when they go into a prison or to a jail, they should be in correspondence with a local pastor. And if somebody is saved in that jail or in that prison, if they're not from around there, they should find out where they're from and tell them, here is a church in that area. Here is the pastor's name. What you need to do when you get out of jail is go to that local church and get established in that local church. Besides that, I'm totally against any other ministry. I'm totally against the jail ministry if it's not pointing to the local church. You say, preacher, we're just going in there and getting them saved by the grace of God. Somebody's got to teach them. I'm going to get in trouble right here, but it'll be all right. That's the reason they get saved 47 times in a jail sometimes. Nobody has ever taught them eternal security. No, the thing, and Miss Leslie will tell you this, 5 years of Rock of Ages, and the saddest day was every day when we left that facility. Because we had saw people saved, and there was not a chance to go in and to teach them and to help them mature in the things of God. What does the local church do? That's exactly what they do. We come to Sunday school to be educated. What does the missionary do? He starts a local church, and through that local church, he begins a Sunday school program and a youth ministry, and they teach the Word of God. The purpose of every missionary or to be the church. It's to point back to the church. It's the first and foremost, the primary purpose of a missionary is church planting. That, I'm telling you, that's the primary purpose of it. I just give it to you out of the Bible. So as we move forward with missionaries, here's where the missionary comes from. They're called of God. Here's what the missionary does, and here's the primary purpose of a missionary. Now, you know what? Before service tonight, somebody may have come up to you and said, what's a missionary? Well, just somebody that goes across the sea. Now you can take your Bible and go, here's what a missionary is. A missionary is somebody that's called by the Holy Ghost of God, goes to a certain area. While he's there, he teaches to them. He preaches to them. He exhorts them. He fasts and prays for God to call a preacher out of it so that he can turn the work over to them one day and go do it all over again. It's all right there in Acts chapter 14. And the primary purpose of that missionary, according to Acts 16 through Acts 20, is starting local churches. Starting local churches. Missions tonight. If we're going to, will you come start playing softly? Come be a missionary to the piano tonight. If we're going to get a hold of missions, we got to understand some things about missions. Does that make sense tonight? Some of y'all the past three Sunday nights has looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Man, it's getting a hold. What did they do? What did they do? I was around missions my whole life. 275, I think it was, 275 missionaries we supported where I grew up at. Matter of fact, the last 3 or 4 years there, there's over $1 million went through the missions account at Turner's Creek where Dad pastored out years ago. By the time I was 16 years old, I'd been to England, Scotland, Berlin, Jamaica, the Providential Islands, Canada, all out west. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't until several years ago that I really even got a hold of missions myself. Missions tonight. His last command should be our top priority. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said this last week. You know what a missionary does? He extends the field of the church. We can't go but so far right here. But boy, when we gave to get that missionary to Peru last week, and this morning there were services in Africa, there were services in Egypt, there were services in Argentina, on and on we could go, Alaska, all as a product of our missions program. Amen. Missions tonight. You say, preacher, what's the heartbeat of God? Missions. You say you really believe that? I do. I believe it with all my heart. Because missions can be summed up in one word. And what's that word? Souls. Brother Stans listened, and Dad evidently listened to the live feed. It's souls. And what is souls? Can I just give this to you in closing? Are you ready? What is souls? Souls is souls. That's what souls is. What is souls? Souls is an opportunity. I have an opportunity to give somebody, amen, the gospel. I have an opportunity to hand somebody a gospel tract. Have an opportunity to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Souls, it's souls, it's opportunity. What is souls? It's universal. It's everywhere. What is souls? It's laboring. That's what it is. It's laboring. Because for you to go knock on the door and tell somebody about Jesus, you've got to labor to do that. What is souls? Here's what souls is. It's a savior. It's souls. It's opportunity. It's universal. It's laboring. Souls is a savior tonight. Jesus loved the world. And you know what? I can't get to all the world. But you know what I can do? I can give to get somebody to all the world. And in doing that, I'm getting the Savior to them. And in doing that, there is fruit abounding to my account. I mean, can you just imagine in heaven one day when some little kid from Ethiopia walks up to you and says, now, I know if you want to get in dispensationalism, we're probably all going to be 33 and a half years old in heaven, all right? But just stay with me a minute. They walk up to you and say, thank you. I lost half of you when I said 33 and a half years old. We're going to be likened unto him. Watch this. And I'm sorry, but Jesus don't have a rocking chair in heaven, okay? Let me just keep moving or I'm going to get in trouble. But they come up to you and Brother Stan, they say something like this. Thank you. Thank you for by faith, given what you did to missions. I'm here today because you gave to world missions. Could you imagine somebody coming up to you from Argentina going, thank you for giving to missions. Somebody from Egypt walking up to you and going, thank you for giving to missions. Somebody from Saudi Arabia saying, thank you for giving to missions. Man, it's a savior tonight. It's a savior. May we get a hold of missions.